This is tape number two.
The Book of Revelation, Unveiled at Last, by Herbert W. Armstrong. The Great Tribulation is not the wrath of God, just the opposite. This is the wrath of Satan the devil. He knows that he has but a short time. When God intervenes, when God's plagues fall, when Christ returns to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule the earth, Satan knows full well he will be through. The Great Tribulation, as I shall show you if you will just keep both your mind and your Bible open, is Satan's last persecution and martyrdom against the true begotten sons of God, whom he can't deceive, as he has deceived the world as a whole. Now turn again to Revelation chapter 6. Those of the former great martyrdom of saints are told that the judgments of God, the plagues which lead up to and occur at the time of Christ's return to earth, cannot come until their fellow servants and their brethren, other spirit-begotten Christians, should be killed as they were. Here is the Great Tribulation, another coming martyrdom of God's people. And what follows? The sixth seal, as we have seen, will mark the beginning of the intervention of God in world affairs, the terrifying signs in the heavens. And then men shall cry out, "The terrible day of God's wrath is come." And the heaven departed, as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" That's from Revelation chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. This is the day of the Eternal, bringing us at last the return of Christ to earth in all power and glory, to rule the peoples of earth, and to bring us peace. You need not fear or worry over the things coming on the earth in the meantime. In this same prophecy of Jesus, as reported by Luke, regarding the world disturbances now ahead, regarding the Great Tribulation and the Day of the Lord, Jesus ended his Olivet prophecy with these assuring words, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." Luke chapter 21, verse 36. May God help you to be one of those studying the prophecies, watching world events as they fulfill them, and praying always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before Christ at His coming. Notice, for 6,000 years God has sent His loving messages to mankind. In love, God revealed His law, His way of life that would lead to everything good and desirable to our first parents, Adam and Eve. God has sent all His prophets with His message of peace, revealing to mankind the way to peace and happiness. But men have rejected the message and killed the prophets. They put to death God's Son, who brought the good news of the kingdom of God, which is the world tomorrow. They martyred Jesus' apostles, who went out into the world with the message of God's way of life and God's rule over our lives. All these men of God have pleaded with this rebellious world in love. They have brought a message of peace, of love, of mercy and compassion. Through them, God has pleaded with this stiff-necked and self-willed world for 6,000 years. God has warned the world of where its own ways and devices will finally lead, to the total annihilation of human life from off this planet. In love and in tender mercy, God has given this stubborn, misguided human race every chance for 6,000 long years to save itself from a self-imposed destruction. But men would not heed. They will not heed today. They continue even now to devise forces of destruction that will result in the suicide of the human race unless God does intervene. But God is about to step in and speak to this rebellious and hell-bent world in the only language the world will heed. God will now punish this world for its evil. As any loving parent punishes his child who will not listen to kind and loving admonition, so now God is going to punish this world with just judgments, with plagues so terrible that the world will at last be forced to to turn from its wicked ways and to seek God and His ways that lead to peace and everything good. God will prevent the suicide of humanity. He will save this evil world from itself. And that is the period coming, described in more than 30 different prophecies scattered throughout both Old and New Testaments as the Day of the Lord, which will lead directly into the second coming of Christ to bring us, at last, world peace. But as we begin the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, we find that the day of the eternal, the time of these terrible plagues God shall send, is to be held up temporarily until a certain other event of God's doing takes place. Notice the introduction of chapter 7 of this greatest prophecy ever written. We read, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." That was read from Revelation chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Now consider carefully a few important points. First, the preceding words show that the judgments of the day of the Lord have come at this exact juncture, but God holds it back. Notice that just as the day of the Lord is about to strike, John sees in his vision four angels holding back the four winds which are about to blow on the earth. You will see a little later that these winds blow the seven trumpets which are to follow. These, of course, are symbols, but they represent things this world will find are very real. But they are restrained until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. First to be sealed are the 144,000. Who are the 144,000? You have probably heard many interpretations. They are all in error. Men are unable to interpret this prophecy. The first thing to notice is that the time of the sealing of this 144,000 is yet in the future. It is after the great tribulation of the heavenly signs and just before the plagues of God's judgment. It has not yet happened. Second, this prophecy is plain and means just what it says. 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 of each tribe. Where are they today? Where are the lost 10 tribes? But these 144,000 are not all. For we read, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and verses 13 through 14. And what is sealed in the foreheads? They are sealed by the Holy Spirit in their foreheads. If you will turn to chapter 14, verse 1, you will see that it is the Father's name that is written there. Jesus' very last prayer for His church was that they should be kept in the Father's name. Today we find the churches of this world under every possible man-made name, many named after men. But 12 times in the New Testament, His own church is the church of God. Yes, God's church. Now, how about the innumerable multitude? They have come through the great tribulation. God will not send His frightful plagues to punish the world until He has first sent a great supernatural warning. God has warned the world through all His prophets, through His Son, Jesus Christ. He is warning the world right now through this very work. But God is a God of mercy and compassion. He will yet warn this world once again by supernatural signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. God will leave men no excuse. And after the great tribulation, when men are seized with stark terror at these supernatural heavenly signs, multiplied thousands will at last recognize that it is really God warning them. Yes, multiplied thousands who now hear this warning from God will not heed it now. They are deceived. They still believe and follow their various human leaders or groups. Their minds are not fully opened to recognize this as God's last warning to this world. They are not repenting or turning to God now. Oh, how well I know that. But when they see these things actually occur, which they have heard from no others, when they have seen how the world was deceived and misled about the Great Tribulation, and they have gone through it, when they see these terrifying supernatural signs in the heavens, then, at last, hundreds of thousands of them, perhaps even some of you, will at last recognize the truth, and at last turn to God in complete submission, fully repenting, and coming through Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We of this ministry well know that our real reward in the harvest of precious lives will mostly come after our labors are finished. But now we come to chapter 8. Here is the opening of the seventh seal. And what is the seventh seal? Remember, as each seal was opened, John recorded what he saw in his vision. In every case, the things he saw were symbols. But these symbols represent actual world events occurring in a definite time order. So notice what John saw when the seventh seal was opened. From Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. John sees the seven trumpets. Here is the third vital key to the book of Revelation. The seven trumpets are, of course, symbols. They represent real world events to come. These trumpets are not, as so many have believed, contemporaneous with the seven seals. Neither do they follow the closing of the seventh seal. They constitute the seventh seal. This seventh seal occurs, then, in seven successive stages. Each of these seven stages, or parts of the seventh seal, is called a trumpet. These trumpets are plagues, which God shall send in physical punishment of the forces of evil in this world. Notice, at the end of the sixth of these trumpets, how they are plainly called plagues. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. That's Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. A trumpet is an instrument into which one blows. A trumpet sounds by blowing wind through it. These seven trumpets which compose the seventh seal follow immediately after the sixth seal. At the time of the sixth seal, described in the last of the sixth chapter of Revelation, it was announced that the great day of God's wrath was come. These symbolic trumpets portray, then, the day of the Lord, the day of God's wrath, the day God intervenes in world affairs to punish this world for its evil, the day God pleads with all flesh in the physical language it can understand. And as Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 16 says, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced, that is, fortified or defended, cities, and against the high towers, that is, military fortifications. The trumpet was always blown as a warning of war or approaching armies. It signifies war and destruction. When Israel turned a deaf ear to all God's prophets, rejected God's loving pleading through preaching, God punished ancient Israel by sending the armies of Assyria to conquer them. When Judah disobeyed worse than Israel, God Almighty sent the armies of the Chaldeans to conquer them. As God steps in to punish the whole world, yes, all nations for their evil, which is destroying them and bringing such suffering and unhappiness on all their peoples, the trumpets, or alarms of war, are sounded. Trumpets are blown by wind. Now notice again, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. These winds were held back from blowing these seven trumpets until the sealing of the 144,000 and the great innumerable multitude that came out of the great tribulation from all nationalities and peoples. They who repent and turn to God for protection are first brought under the divine protection, so that just as God protected the children of Israel when he poured out the plagues in ancient Egypt, so shall he protect all his children who rely on him from these plagues, now about to come on modern Babylon. And incidentally, the plagues God sent on Egypt in the days of Moses were a direct type of these plagues that shall now be poured out on Babylon. Those protected from those ancient plagues were taken under Moses to the Promised Land, the Holy Land. Those saved from these plagues will be taken by Christ into the kingdom of God, to be set up on earth with headquarters in Jerusalem. The first four of these trumpet plagues are described in chapter 8 as winds that blow on the earth, trees, rivers, and seas. You will read that in verses 6 through 12 in chapter 8 of the book of Revelation. The last three trumpets are called woes because of the terrible woe that shall befall the forces of evil on earth. This is stated in the 13th and last verse of chapter 8. The first woe, which is also the fifth trumpet, is described in chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. The power that causes the destruction, this time to men, comes out of the symbolic bottomless pit. This is interpreted in Revelation chapter 17, verses 8 through 14. There we learn that a rebirth of the ancient Roman Empire is the power which emerges out of the bottomless pit or abyss, a condition of underground existence not visible to the world. Verse 7 shows this future power will be a war-making, revived, fascist power. It is described in prophecy as a power to the north of the Holy Land, because the prophecies always speak from the focal point of the Holy Land, to the north and west. The second woe, with its symbols of horses and horsemen, is interpreted by Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 4 and 15, and is also referred to as an event in the day of the Eternal in Joel chapter 2, verse 4. This refers to a tremendous military power, also to the north, due north. They come with an army of 200 million. Think of it, an army of 200 million. World events are now moving rapidly to make possible the creation of a communist Eurasian army of that unbelievable manpower. Yes, it's time to wake up to what's taking place today, the true significance of the time in which we live, and where it is leading. Before the third woe, the last trumpet, we find the two witnesses described. Men have come forth with every possible interpretation of these witnesses. Notice the time element. They end their mission, described in chapter 11, at the time of the end of the second woe, verses 12 through 14. Their mission lasts only 3.5 years. So, contrary to erroneous human interpretations, their mission has not as yet even begun. They are endued with supernatural protection, and they give out God's last warning to the evil powers of earth, delivered through human instruments, before this final trumpet sounds. They are to be killed by the beast, a symbol of a power described in Revelation chapter 13 and chapter 17, and identified by Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 7 as the resurrection of the ancient Roman Empire. Now comes the third woe, the seventh and last trumpet. What is this seventh trumpet? In many other prophecies, it is recorded that the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, the time of Christ's literal bodily return to this earth, shall occur at the time of the last trump. The same Jesus who came to earth over 1900 years ago taught the way of happy living which men rejected. He was put to death, then resurrected from the dead, and he ascended to heaven. This same Jesus is coming again in almighty power and glory. He is coming as world ruler, as King of kings, as Lord of all lords, to rule all nations and to enforce the way to peace. And his coming shall occur at the last trump. You will find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, and in Matthew chapter 24, verse 31. We know from these prophecies that this last trumpet is the time for the actual appearing of Christ as world ruler. But what else is described? Notice the sounding of the seventh trumpet, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. There it is. It is announced that the world rule of Jesus Christ over all nations has arrived. All human government on earth shall fall under the divine power of Almighty God. Men have never wanted God's rule, even though it is the only way to peace, happiness, and joy. And so the rulers of human governments over mankind are found angry. They shall have been deceived by the false teaching about a secret rapture theory into believing that this is the Antichrist. They shall fight against Christ and His rule over the earth. Notice it in Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Yes, when the seventh trumpet is sounded, the nations are going to be angry. Once again it is proclaimed, thy wrath is come. The only thing described under the opening of this seventh trumpet that could possibly be the third woe is the wrath of God. But all the trumpets have been plagues, pouring out the wrath of God, His punishments to bring this hell-bent world to its senses and to a happy peace. The seventh trumpet consummates this wrath. And what is it that consummates, fills up, completes the wrath of God? We read in Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. The Moffat translation renders it, For they complete the wrath of God. In the 14th chapter and 10th verse of Revelation, it is stated that these seven last plagues are to be poured out in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The Lamb is a symbol representing Jesus Christ. And when He shall come to rule the world, all the holy angels are coming from heaven with Him. Notice that in Jesus' own prophecy, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 34. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ is coming to rule. The kingdom of God is a kingdom, a government, bearing rule over every other kingdom on earth. But the kingdom of God also is described by Jesus and throughout the Bible as a family, finally grown into the great world-ruling divine nation, a nation of immortals. Jesus taught that we may inherit the kingdom of God, but only by being first begotten of God and then born of God. The Apostle Paul said plainly that flesh and blood, that is, a mortal human, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It is not a mortal kingdom. It is not a human kingdom. It is a divine kingdom, into which humans may finally be born when they are changed, that is, converted, from mortal to immortal, from human to divine. Now notice carefully, at Christ's coming, the dead in Christ are to be resurrected immortal. The living in Christ, see 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 54, shall be changed, converted, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortal to immortal. They are then born into the kingdom of God. They then come into their inheritance of the kingdom of God. And Jesus will then say, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared. Jesus Christ is then sitting on His throne, King of the world. When He comes, all the holy angels come from heaven with Him, and the seven last plagues are poured out at His coming, actually in the very presence of Christ and all the holy angels. Yes, how plain it is. So the seventh trumpet then, like the seventh seal, is divided into seven parts, the seven last plagues. The seven last plagues are, they constitute, the seventh trumpet, just as the seven trumpets are and constitute the seventh seal. The seven seals cover the whole prophecy. This sequence and sevenfold arrangement of events is the one great key to the long-closed book of Revelation. The seven last plagues complete the wrath of God. They are the last seventh part of the seventh seal and a part of the seventh seal. They show the coming of Christ to bring this world peace by forcing the nations to be governed by the government of God, and God governs by His laws. Christ is the way and the only way to peace and to happiness and to life eternal. There is no other way. The world has spurned that way. Now it shall be compelled to find that way. God loves this world. God Almighty shall yet intervene to save this world. Now to conclude the keys to this marvelous book of Revelation. Chapter 12 is an inset chapter injected into the main story thread. Just as any writer will stop his narrative at a certain point to go back and sketch a different scene involving different characters and events, bringing them up to and connecting them with his story thread at that juncture, so here John pictures the true church from the time prior to Christ's birth, verse 4, through his birth, resurrection, and ascension, verse 5, and the 1,260 years of persecution when the true church was forced to flee completely beyond the bounds of organized government persecution. The true church has always existed. The church of chapter 17 is the great false church. Revelation 12 brings the story of the true church to the present, when the devil, knowing he has just a short time, verse 12, persecutes the true church, pictured as a remnant or small in number, and keeping the commandments of God, verse 17. Incidentally, you may request our free booklet on cassette, Where is God's True Church Today? Merely contact the address from which you received this cassette. The 13th chapter is another inset picturing the symbolic beast and the second two-horned beast. Chapter 14 shows the three angel messages proclaiming the fall or doom of Babylon through the seven last plagues and the warning against the mark of the beast, which those in Babylon are deceived into having. Chapters 15 and 16 describe the seven last plagues, which are the third woe or seventh trumpet. These are God's judgments against this world's false system, Babylon. See Revelation chapter 18, verse 4 and verse 10. Chapters 17 and 18 picture the revived Roman Empire and the great false church with her daughter churches. See chapter 17, verse 5. Deceiving all nations. See chapter 17, verses 2 and 15, and chapter 18, verse 3. Israel is today in Babylon, deceived. We are God's people Israel, in Babylon today, as Israel was in Egypt when God's plagues were on Egypt. And God calls us out, see Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, and tells us to keep His commandments. The 19th chapter shows the second coming of Christ, and the 20th, the thousand-year reign on earth, see Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, and the great white throne judgment. The 21st and 22nd chapters show the new heaven and the new earth throughout eternity. But now, finally, do you realize where we stand today? We are in the semi-chaotic lull between the Second and Third World Wars. But one thing is prophesied for now. One of these prophesied events is taking place this instant. In his great Olivet prophecy, which was the very key to the symbols of Revelation, the disciples asked Jesus privately what would be the sign of his coming and the end of this world, today's world. When Jesus told them of the many who would go forth preaching in His name, proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ, yet deceiving the world as to Christ's gospel, that was not the end. The famine and the pestilence to come was not the sign of His coming and of the end of this world. The series of world wars was not the sign of His coming and of the end. It is only in verse 14 of this prophecy that He gave it. I want you to notice the tremendous significance of this. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. There it is. Jesus proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is the good news of the world tomorrow. Soon men went out preaching Christ. They appropriated His name and the prestige of His name in order to deceive the world and to hide from the world the message that Christ brought. But in this end time, when the end of this age is at hand, this same gospel of the kingdom of God, the government of God, being born into the family of God, this same gospel is now, once again, being announced to all the world. That prophecy is being fulfilled in the World Tomorrow broadcast and telecast, and in the pages of The Plain Truth. And we have come to the end of the booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled at Last by Herbert W. Armstrong. At the end of the booklet, there is additional reading suggested. The Worldwide Church of God publishes many colorful, informative booklets on a wide range of biblical topics. For example, what is a real Christian? What are the very basic down-to-earth fundamentals of Christianity, the very heart, root, and core of the teachings of Christ? And did Jesus teach that real repentance and water baptism are necessary for salvation? You'll find out in the booklet, What is a Real Christian? The next booklet mentioned is, Where is God's True Church Today? Does Jesus Christ have many different church denominations doing His work? Is Christ divided? How, when, and where did this religious Babylon of multiple denominations get started? And how does one recognize the true church? Next, we have mentioned the booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? Does it make any difference which day we observe? Was the Sabbath given only for Jewish people? Are Christians commanded to keep Sunday as the Lord's Day? You'll enjoy reading Which Day is the Christian Sabbath. Then mentioned is the booklet, Seven Proofs of God's True Church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and He did build it. But can you prove which church is the true church? This booklet presents the seven major proofs of where God's true church is working on this earth today. Now, before we tell you how to get your copies of those booklets, we would mention two others which were advertised on cards inserted within the body of the booklet. One of those booklets is The Ten Commandments. The law of God outlined in the Ten Commandments reveals the real way to peace, happiness, and success. It's a way of life based on spiritual laws, as active, powerful, and unchanging as the law of gravity. It's the way to everything you really want, and it's explained in a free booklet called The Ten Commandments. Then the other booklet, advertised within the body of this Book of Revelation, unveiled at last booklet, was The United States and British Commonwealth in Prophecy. The United States and British Commonwealth and other major nations are clearly identified in Bible prophecy. Request this booklet and read of the startling events prophesied for our generation. Also, before we tell you how to get your copy of those booklets on cassette, we would tell you that you can get a unique course that makes the Bible come alive, 12 Easy Steps to Bible Understanding. It's the Bible Correspondence Course. It makes the Bible relevant and meaningful to today's world conditions. Life's most important questions are researched as you are directed step by step to the clear answers in your own Bible. The correspondence course covers such vital subjects as why study the Bible in the space age? Why were you born? Just what is man? What is death? What is hell? What is Armageddon and the four horsemen? What happens after Armageddon? This and much more is laid out in step by step detail. You'll find these lessons stirring, sparkling with interest. Many of our students have written to tell us it was difficult to pull away from this course once started. You too can be richly rewarded by these lessons. They lead to a study that is surprising and exciting. There are no tests to return. You evaluate your own progress. And there is absolutely no tuition, no obligation on your part. For all 12 16-page monthly lessons, be sure to request the correspondence course today. You'll be glad you did. Now for the Bible correspondence course, any of the other literature we have mentioned, or any of our literature which is available on cassette, simply make your request to the address from which you received this cassette. It's that easy. So now you have heard the booklet, The Book of Revelation, Unveiled at Last. This booklet is provided free of charge by the Worldwide Church of God in the public interest. It is made possible by the voluntary, freely given tithes and offerings of the membership of the Church and others who have elected to support the work of the Church. Contributions are welcomed and gratefully accepted. Those who wish to voluntarily aid and support this worldwide work of God are gladly welcomed as co-workers in this major effort to preach the gospel to all nations. And that is the conclusion of The Book of Revelation, Unveiled at Last by Herbert W. Armstrong. And now this is your reader speaking, Eddie Knox.